It's a privilege to be here tonight to see all your lovely faces. Light shining off of my forehead, so please don't be blinded. I, once again, am the most bald speaker on the panel, which is kind of depressing. But leadership, I've been told by Sammy, hey, why don't you present on leadership, because I am doing a PhD in applied theology, and what I'm actually studying is leadership development or discipleship of second generation Asian Americans in church. And so in that, I guess that kind of lined me up pretty well for leadership presentation tonight. One disclaimer, I've never considered myself a strong leader. I grew up in a family of five. I have two older sisters. And some background on that, I grew up in Canada, so I'm a Korean Canadian. And Canadian women are very strong. And so I was beaten down and oppressed from day one of my life. And I have a great fear of people, especially older women. And so as I present this, please excuse me if I feel a little bit timid at times, or I'm not as forceful as you think I should be. But leadership, we all have different definitions of leadership. As I've been studying what leadership actually is on a more academic type of level, it's very, very hard to come across a consensus definition of what a leader actually is, nonetheless a leader in the church. And so I would turn to people like John Piper, who would say, leadership is knowing where God wants people to be and taking the initiative to use God's methods to get them in reliance on God's power. So getting them to where they need to be according to God's power, which is a very good definition. But once again, as you're doing higher level studies, they want you to come up with your own definitions. So I kind of tweaked that, and my definition that I did come up with was growing as a mature steward to lead people from different cultures in a journey towards God-glorifying, Christ-centered community. And that's in particular, what does it mean to be a second-generation leader? So a leader in the second-generation Asian community. We are all part of a diaspora. So Sammy talked about that a bit. What that means is you are a community with a common culture, a common language, a common things that we can talk about, joke about, love together, that kind of identify us together. But we're outside of our motherland. And so a lot of that culture does come from a mother type of culture. And so when we do ministry in the church, when we disciple people, young people in the church, or even older people in the church, we always have to realize that we're working in somewhat of a hybrid type of culture. Everything that we do as a second generation leader is cross-cultural. And so for us to be successful leaders in the Asian American community, we need to be very, very flexible in terms of what it means when we deal with different cultures. I'm hoping that, you know, we can learn from Sammy and leaders like him that we do need to be humble. One of the reasons why there's so many church splits and so many pastors experience burnout and so many leaders in the church just end up getting frustrated and leaving, again, Sammy pointed it out very well, it's because of pride. We're rigid. We always want to do things our way. We think our way is the best way. Now, I've been in this leadership business. I don't even call it business. I don't think that was the right term. But I've been part of this, has been my life as a pastor for almost 20 years in vocational ministry. And I've been very fortunate. Every single ministry that I've been a part of has grown, a lot of the times exponentially. But it's not because I'm a strong or mighty leader. I really think that a lot of it has to do with the beatdowns that I got as a little kid from my older sisters. I'm serious. A lot of it was learning to deal with authority in a respectful manner and realizing the mission that I have is very important, of taking care of, for 10 years I was a youth pastor. It was very, very important to take care of these youth kids. But that mission was not more important than the mission of my senior pastor. And it wasn't worth dying on a hill or fighting all the time or butting heads with them all the time. It just wasn't. And so we would learn not just to coexist, but after a while we would learn to love each other and grow alongside each other. And so there was this measure of humility that is needed in order to lead. And we always have to remember, as second generation Asian Americans, we're dealing with a cross-cultural situation. There's a huge need. Sam, you ran by these numbers a little bit earlier. There are some 17 million Asian Americans in the United States of America. That's a lot of people. My dissertation focuses more on second generation Korean Americans. I include Canadians in there. But do you know that over 70%, right, these are from 2012, these statistics, but over 70% of Korean Americans are Christians. That's crazy. Now, you want to define Christian, obviously. You know, some just say, oh, I go to church. And I think these surveys define them, someone who has association with church as a Christian. But there is power there. Why is there power there? Because when people come to America, okay, not just Koreans, but from other ethnicities as well, where will they go? They will go to a community where people speak the language and understand the culture that they're coming from. And a lot of the times, that is the church. And so first generation Asian Americans will always have that opportunity for outreach and for evangelism. That will not go away. And so no matter what you think about the first generation church, or they're too Chinese, or they're too Korean, or they're too this, or too that, you have to realize that God's going to have a purpose for that, always. As long as there's any sort of immigration, legal or illegal. But as long as there's any sort of immigration in North America, guess what? There will be a need for the first generation. There will be a need for that type of ministry, and God is using it in a very powerful way. People that are coming from nations that are completely closed to the gospel are being exposed to the gospel. Why? Because of culture. Culture draws them into the church. It is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. But here's the problem. The attrition rate, at least the studies that we've done in the Korean church, there are multiple studies, yes, but all of the numbers point upwards of 80%, some as high as 93% attrition rate, young people. And so once they leave the care of the parents, once they're not forced to go to church, you know, thrown into a car kicking and screaming on a Sunday morning like I was, and some of maybe you were as you grew up. Once that stage passes, some 90% are leaving the church. Where they go, we don't really know. In all honesty, that much study really hasn't been done, and that's why someone like me, who was terrified of school, didn't like school at all, was always compared with my sisters. Anyone in here have sisters like that? Siblings like that? Siblings that went to Harvard, even though they're Canadian? Anyone got that? You're compared all the time, and it just grows weary, and you grow tired of it. You grow tired of being the model Asian, the model minority, those types of things. You almost come to despise school, which I did. But the reason that someone like me can come up here and speak to scholars like you, many of you, is simply because no one's done this research before. And we need some groundbreaking people to do it, people that aren't too afraid. And so what are we finding? These are very common things across any church, obviously across any culture. But leaders, they need to have a level of maturity to them. Maturity that says things like, okay, maybe my ministry is very important. I know God has called me to this ministry, and I love these kids, or I love the people that I'm ministering to, I'm a pastor of, or I'm a leader to, or a praise leader of, or a small group leader of. You have to realize that ministry is not the most important ministry in the church. There are other ministries in the church as well, and you need to realize you are part of the same body. A level of maturity is required. Maturity says it's not all about me, it's about God. It's funny, the millennial generation, the two-letter symbol for the millennial generation is M-E, me. And you think about it, it's become a lot about me, me, me. When you look at technology, when you look at social media, when you look at all those things, it's always about me. The whole concept of the selfie. Come on. We need to turn outwards from ourselves and look to Jesus Christ, who indeed is the author and perfecter of our faith. Being a leader, again, we've all been kind of rushed a little bit tonight, but it also means that we're stewards. And a steward isn't just taking care of all of the stuff that God gave me, realizing that, hey, wait a minute, your very life is a gift from God. Actually, when you look at the New Testament translations of where we're called servants, the word slave is actually used. That Jesus Christ would even refer to himself as a slave. What's up with that? What does a slave have? Nothing. But we have a master. As one of the presenters tonight shared, you know, yes, we are sons. Yes, we are friends. Yes, we are all of this. But ultimately, we are servants to the master. Realize that all the gifts that you have, though very many of you are very gifted, all sorts of things you have, all those things aren't even yours. They're the Lord's. And they're to be used for God's glory. If we want to be leaders in the church, if we want to be leaders in the kingdom of God, you have to realize it's the very lowest position. It's a position that says, I realize that nothing I have is really mine. It's all the Lord's. And I'll spend my life for Him. One thing that's very important for us to reiterate is second-generation Asian American leaders. Again and again and again, we can't stress this enough. We need to be contextual. Contextual doesn't mean that, you know, we're all going to come up here and I'm going to give a sermon in spoken word form today, you know, and come out and wrap it, you know, and grow more hair so I look cool, or at least wear a hat, you know, turn it backwards. Wear like maybe a tight muscle shirt and work out a little bit and those types of things. It's not necessarily that. It's about having a heart that can bend. It's about having a heart that says, hey, wait a minute, I need to take some time to understand the person sitting across the table from me. I need to take some time to minister and realize, hey, wait a minute, when the Bible talks about a weaker brother issue, a lot of the times we think the weaker brother is always the younger brother or the second generation. But you second generation leaders here, please listen just for 1 second. You have to realize, as a second generation Asian American, you were born in the United States. Your first language is English. You understand things like how to do taxes. You understand the local laws and authorities. It is so much easier for someone who was born here or came at a very young age, let's say before high school, to just do life. Step back a second and ask yourself, who is the weaker brother? So when you're dealing with some first-generation leaders that might seem a little bit difficult to deal with at times, who's the weaker brother? Right, we need to do our very best, yes, to be humble, but be real. Think about what it means to do our very best to contextually communicate with those around us, to lead in such a way where we're able to influence the culture that we serve, yes, but also the culture that we serve in, if that makes sense. Another thing is, and this is not the last thing a leader needs to be, by no means, there's just so much in here and it's so hard to unpack sometimes. But a leader does need to be biblical. And I think the biblical thing kind of overarches everything, obviously, because as a Christian, not just as a scholar, not just as a pastor, but just as a believer, you know, we're people of the book. This is what defines our faith. If you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian in any culture, this is the first thing that we should go to. And so all these definitions up here on the screen, right? They need to come out of a biblical understanding of the world and a biblical understanding of the church, of what it actually means to be a leader. And so all of our thoughts, everything that we are, needs to flow through a biblical worldview, some people like to use. I don't know if that term is dated. I do know it has a lot of baggage nowadays. But we have to realize that everything that we do needs to be checked against this. That includes things in context. Revisiting context a little bit, and referring particularly to the Korean situation that I come from. A lot of these spiritual gifts, charismatic type of worship service, charismatic type of prayer where we'll lift our hands and cry out loud, or speak in tongues. Some pastors preach or teach that you have to do that in order for spiritual maturity. I've butted heads with some before. But then you realize, hey, wait a minute. When they were growing up in Korea, and a lot of experiences they had, that style of worship and that style of prayer met the needs of that culture. And for me to completely kick that down, right, it's completely, it's almost like pushing away the work of the Spirit at that time in that culture. And I don't think that's a good thing to do. So I'm doing my very best to understand it and articulate it and teach it to the next generation, not as something that was really bad, but something that was in context, to understand why people would do that today. And that God speaks in different ways today. And sometimes the same way, yes. But a lot of the time in different ways today as well. And once again, what's it need to do? It needs to match up with what's in here. And we're people of the book first. But how we experience life. Wow, the Spirit moves. And so I want to encourage all of us, it's not an easy thing being a leader in a second generation Asian American context. It isn't. But there is so much potential. Do you realize that all of you, every single one of us in this room, first generation alike, have a unique type of potential to reach the nations? Sammy summed it up very well. When I grew up, being Asian was one of the most uncool things you could possibly do. My mom, she knew nothing about American or Canadian culture. You could tell by the lunches she would pack me. I would open up my lunchbox at school and kids would run away. They would say, "Dear God, what is that? How can you eat it? What is that smell?" Those types of things. I got into fights all the time as elementary. They used to call me Bruce. I'm not joking. And some of you, that might be relevant. Some of you are like, "Oh, it's Brad." Well, please, YouTube Bruce Lee. But I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of bullying. It just wasn't cool being Asian. And this is kind of a neat thing that's happening now is if you look at the millennials and a little bit younger, they love being Asian. They love it. They love it so much, they're looking at all sorts of ways to become more Asian. Like, oh my goodness, don't bring that into the church. Yeah, I do not want K-pop in the church. I don't want those things happening in my church. I do not. I just think, you know, Jesus would stand back and go, "Yo, stop." What we need to do is take that and use that, harness the energy, and maybe send some of our young people back to Asia. Think about that. The type of education and the resources that they have here being sent back, and they innately understand the culture and the language. And they have all sorts of time and creativity and potential. It's crazy to think of what the Lord can do if we're humble. And so I encourage all of you, especially those of you that work with young people, that work with second generation, and those of you who are second generation that work with the first, let's work together. Let's see what the Lord can do. See what doors He opens up. It's amazing. I want to brag just a little bit, sorry. But one of our young adult leaders, Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., she hops on a plane to Asia, and she'll spend the next six months of her life there. She came up through the college ministry. She did everything that she could to stay in the Raleigh area in order to serve at our church as the praise leader. She sings gorgeously. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I'm like, oh, but I can't fathom what the Lord's going to do with her over there in Asia. But God is opening up doors. He's exciting people. He's putting things in people's hearts. And I would encourage you, wherever you are, continue on. Know that the Lord is working powerfully in you. Hang in there. The Spirit's working a lot more things than maybe you even know or imagine right now. And so I'm just going to finish with that tonight. And I pray and I hope that every single one of you would not just be just this place and go back to your churches, but would carry on week to week, month to month, year to year, faithful service, and know that the Lord is doing something good. He is raising up leaders. And He will do something mighty, I believe, in our day. All right. Thanks.